pages there. We'll spend too much time because Eliezer is also. So what we're going to be talking about is just some random things you have to know in preparation for Shemitah. We're not going to be talking about one specific topic. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, mainly related to a garden. Preparations you have to do in your garden in terms of watering, in terms of weeding, in terms of trimming your plants and your bushes and your trees. So it's mainly those kinds of things that we're going to be talking about. So the first thing that we've already gotten a few questions about is watering. And for all these things that we're going to be discussing, I'm writing and following the Pesach of Rav Rimon. For all these things, you'll find different variations, some more machmir, some more mekel, depending on the issue. But we'll just go with Rav Rimon's Pesach at the end of the day. So most of us in the garden would have a computerized watering system. And you don't really do anything over the course of the year, assuming nothing goes wrong, assuming there's no plumbing issue, or assuming that the watering thing loses its batteries. So then the watering system just goes completely by itself. So Rav Rimon says, in that case, assuming you arrange the watering system before Shemitah, he thinks you can have it water as usual. No restrictions in terms of time, in terms of the amount of days, but if it's something you set up before Shemitah and it's just going by itself, and particularly in regards to watering, where there's not getting into the details, there's already room to be more lenient in regards to watering. So he thinks in that case, so it's really allowed to just have it be watered as usual. If something happened, the plumber comes and he has to turn off the main watering source, the main water source. So now you want to turn your watering system back on, which probably will happen at some point over the course of a year. So he says in that case, it's better either to have somebody who's not Jewish turn it on, a Shemitah goy, or he says you can then set the watering system to have the same guidelines as somebody who does not have an automatic watering system, which is the following. You can ask him directly. First of all, he says there is room to be lenient if somebody, for some reason, he really just wants to put it back on the way it was originally. There's room to be mekel, but assuming one wants to try to be a little bit more machmir, so he should either have a non-Jew turn the watering system back on, or he should set it based on the following guidelines, and that is. The idea in general for a lot of areas of Shemitah in regards to the garden is that you want to only do things that will maintain the life of the garden. You're not trying to help things grow. And Shemitah, just like we don't plant, we're also not trying to encourage growth in other ways. So in regards to watering, somebody who's watering at very close intervals, it's not only maintaining the health and the life of his grass and his plants, he's also trying to help them grow. So that's what you would try to avoid during Shemitah. So if you're manually watering, or you're automatic system went off and you want to reset it because it's in the middle of Shemitah, so what you should do is set the system at such intervals that it's watering the plants and grass enough to keep them alive, but not to have them be thriving and growing very well. The only thing he gave specifically in terms of guidelines for that, he says in terms of grass, he would recommend setting it once a week. But he says after you're setting it once a week, you ask the gardener, he says once a week the grass will be okay. It won't thrive, but it won't get totally yellow. So he says, but once you're then setting it and you're then arranging the water to go on once a week, at that point you could have it water for as long as you want. He recommends an hour and a half, which sounds to me like a long time for watering. But I guess that the gardener he spoke to, I guess those are the numbers he got from him. Yeah, you could have for whatever you want. Not more than one and a half. I mean, you'll see, assuming wow. If you have it for 45 minutes or whatever, that the grass is doing fine. It's not bright green, but it's not totally yellow. So then you know that's fine. I would imagine in regard to the drip system for plants, it should probably be a little bit more than once a week, but maybe twice a week. That's probably something that should be confirmed with the gardener to see exactly what he recommends.
We were hoping Daniel Hyman was going to come tonight, but unfortunately I just couldn't convince him.
So that applies to grass. I would think fruit trees might need more than once a week for them to really survive.
Well, so if you have your fruit trees and your plants in the same line.
What do you mean? But the
our fruit trees and plants are on the same line. Was
grass?
Irrigation, not grass.
Meaning that your plants and trees. Oh, fine. Yeah. I was assuming that plants and trees. I when I said I think they might need more, I meant plants and trees as opposed to grass. I would guess. I'm not a gardener. I would guess. That plants would probably need more than once a week, plants and trees, but I don't want to say for sure, but that's what I would guess. So that's in terms of watering. In terms of fertilizing, does anybody fertilize, put fertilizer in their gardens?
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose. Okay, so if somebody would fertilize their garden, that's something that really should be arranged before Shemitah, because that's the kind of thing, according to Rav Rimon's book, that should be able to be done in such a way that it could be time released, and theoretically fertilizing is a malacha midirabanan on Shemitah, so you should avoid fertilizing. If there's some need that comes up during Shemitah, you see that there's...
Let's go back.
Daniel, okay, we're gonna take a step back.
Let him sit down, let him eat something.
Have some RC, we're going to work you hard. Okay, so Dan, I just have a question for you. About my tree, I just can't. My question was, Rav Rimon recommends...
The watering, fertilizing, you know,
right, the watering. So in terms of the watering system, what I said so far is that, assuming it's computerized, Rav Rimon said, and you set it up before Shemitah, he says you can set it to water as usual. If it got turned off in the middle of Shemitah, we said you should ideally either ask a non-Jew or then set it to be on a more minimal watering scale, which he recommends to be for grass once a week, and he says you can do as long as you want. He recommends up to an hour and a half. Is that sounds like a long time? is there a point where it's no longer beneficial for the grass anymore because it's already soaked? What would you
recommend? It depends if it's been done properly beforehand. Mm-hmm. A year old grass, if it's been watered properly beforehand, an hour and a half is a lot of water.
It's a lot of water.
Very healthy, but it has to be watered properly beforehand, otherwise it's another root and you just waste it.
An hour's worth of water. Speak to your gardener to see how your grass seems, because it could be an hour and a half would be wasting the water. But he recommends once a week. I was thinking in terms of trees and plants, it could be once a week would be too little for them to be maintained. Is that true, or?
Trees would be fine, but small flowers would die.
Would die, okay. Sorry. You know, is there more chairs? We get them there.
What are we doing? We have more chairs.
I'll try to speak of trees. He said that watering it once a week should be fine, but for smaller plants, it could be once a week would not be enough. So it could be you'd have to put on the drip for more than once a week. So that's something that should be... I guess you have to see exactly what plants you have, but it could be you'd have to have more than once a week for the water. And in terms of fertilizing, this is what Rav Rimon said, that first of all, I don't know, do you do a lot of fertilizing in the gardens here? Is that something that comes up? Yeah? Okay. So he said that there should be a way to fertilize before Shemitah that should more or less take care of your needs over the course of the entire year. Is that true?
There is slow-release chemical water.
Okay, so that's something that if somebody's using Dan, that's something just to know to ask for. If you want to fertilize, really get that taken care of in the next couple weeks. If there's a particular need that comes up and you see that there's a tree that needs to be fertilized, plants that need to be fertilized, so then there are ways to do it. It's probably, he recommends, he said that it's better to somehow do it through the watering system. There are fertilizers that can get through the water. So that's the kind of thing that if the issue comes up in the middle of Shemitah, so talk to your gardener and your Rav and figure out a good plan to go forward with the fertilizing.
The point of doing that with this watering system is just to make it the most indirect way possible.
Right.
I mean, that's what you're trying to get is the more indirect way that you can.
The system will then feed every single plant.
Right. So then it can't be pinpointed.
So how does that work?
Right. Might that be worse? I'm not sure. Okay. In terms of tree pruning. So this should be done before Rosh Hashanah. Ask your gardener to take care of all the pruning needs of your trees before Rosh Hashanah. What if, so why is pruning usur? Pruning is forbidden on Shemitah. It's not totally clear if it's only midirabanan or maybe even from the Torah. The idea of pruning is that if it's done properly, pruning can help the tree grow better. And if you cut off a certain branch, it can help something, maybe the tree itself or another branch grow properly in its place.
Help the fruits grow better, not necessarily the tree.
I don't know. So I'm thinking even the tree possibly.
Small.
I don't know. Daniel, is it possible that if you cut a branch properly, it'll help the tree actually grow better?
That's right.
Almost all pruning stimulates better growth.
There you go. Right. Yeah. Okay, so you should really do the pruning. For that reason, pruning is usur, either midrabanan or midoraita. That should be taken care of before Shemitah. But it could be that will not be enough. It could be your tree will start shooting out into the middle of your walkway, or it could be there'll be a branch that's sick or something like that. So what Rav Yimon says is that he allows you to prune branches from a tree if it's totally for convenience sake, that it's really getting in your way, it's you're not able to walk past a certain area of your yard, of your pathway, because there are trees, there are branches that are blocking it, so that's going to be okay. And also, if by not pruning the branch, the sick branch, it could impact negatively the entire tree, so then you can also prune the sick branches. What Rav Eli mentioned to me also is that he saw if you want to prune, really, you want to cut off palm fronds or things like that for a schach, for Shemitah, for Sukkot, that's okay. That's good because you're clearly doing it only for the use of the things and not to engender growth in the tree. Okay.
Something? Palm fronds will never grow back.
Oh, they won't grow back.
Palm generate more growth.
And it won't make the actual central tree grow back. Okay, so palm fronds might even be totally different. In terms of bushes, which probably trimming comes up more because they can grow a lot faster and get a little bit messier. So what Rav Yimon says there is that if you're trimming it totally for cosmetic reasons, you're not trying, sometimes people have they want to have a fancy ball bush or whatever.
Lollipop trees.
They want it to be shaped in a certain way. So that can worse because, verify this, it appears that if you have your tree, your circle looks like this, and you want it to fill in over there, so then by cutting in a certain way, it can help it fill itself in. Okay, so cutting in a proper way, not the way I cut my bushes. If you cut it properly, that can help the tree grow. So that's the kind of thing that's forbidden during Shemitah. But if you're doing it totally not for any fancy reason, you just want your tree to look symmetrical, meaning the tree is like the bush is like this. You just want to make it flat, square. So that's okay. That's what Rav Yimon says. But we'll get to a little bit more of the details. Similarly, if it's blocking your way, so that's certainly going to be allowed, just like in the case of trees. But when it comes to, I think I wrote this here, maybe not, but when it comes to, I think Rav Yimon says this as well, when it comes to trimming bushes and things like that, it should be done in such a way that it's clear to everybody that you're doing it only for cosmetic reasons. And so a lot of these things, if they're done together with when you're mowing your lawn, which we'll get to soon, that has the appearance of you're just doing it to clean up your yard, as opposed to you're doing it to treat the bush. So a lot of these gardening things that we're talking about, they should ideally be done together with the mowing, which we'll see is going to be allowed. Because the mowing is clearly an act of just for cosmetic reasons to keep your lawn neat. Okay. Pesticides. Ideally, if possible, and if necessary, you should have your plant trees treated with pesticide before Rosh Hashanah. So here's an interesting machloket between the Chazon Ish and Rav Kook. We say in general in Shemitah that if you're doing something in your garden to protect it, that's okay. If you're doing it to promote growth, that's not okay. So what's the it that you're trying to protect? Let's say you have an orange tree, and you call your gardener and he says, you know, I should really spray the tree with pesticide, because if not, all of your fruits are going to be eaten by the ants, or aphids, whatever they're being eaten by. But your tree's going to be fine. You have a big tree; it's not going to get destroyed by the bugs. But your whole crop of fruits will be destroyed by the bugs. So in that case, where you're trying to protect the fruits but not the tree per se, that's a machloket between the Chazon Ish and Rav Kook, if that would be allowed. And Rav Yimon didn't come to any clear conclusion about.
Does it make a difference if it's yours? Like if it's, you know, your fruit sector, so I want to eat your oranges.
Right.
So I have an interest in them not being ruined.
Well, so what do you? So
I might be willing to pay $10 to spray pesticides on your fruit. Does it make a difference?
Right. I don't think so. I think it doesn't make. I mean, if you go to go to the desert and start planting things, that's also forbidden. It just I would think that it's not really about yours. If what your intention is to protect the fruits but not the tree, so that's the machloket, and that's different opinions there. I don't think Rav Yimon came to a very clear conclusion in regards to that, but that will come up, I would imagine, during Shemitah, that there's going to be an issue of pesticides. So again, speak to your gardener and your rav to see what you can do in terms of that. Is there a way to really, Daniel, to in advance treat a tree for pesticide? Meaning
some not.
Some yes, some
most
not.
Most not.
It depends on what
so
kind
you
of.
You can't precautionary treat in Shemitah, because generally you will only do it at 10 or 4 times a year. You don't just do it stump now for next summer.
Uh huh. Well, where would you be? You'd be treating the tree. You'd be saying, let's say, is there a way to do it? Let's say, for example, you wanna kill certain kinds of ants, and you could do it by putting something in the walkway near the tree or something like that. I think that should be fine, because you're not actually doing anything in the ground. I would imagine all this only starts when you're doing something that's treating something that's growing from the ground. So if there'd be a way, I'm just saying this from Svara, I would imagine if pesticides can be done in such a way that not actually being done in the ground or on the tree, I would think that's okay.
Well, there's pesticides that are just bugs. I mean, you release ladybugs and they...
Oh, pesticide, right. The natural ones, that's probably even better, yeah. That's a good idea. In terms of grass cuttings, this is a cute one. So again, the same rule applies in regards to grass, that as long as you're not trying to make your grass grow better when you're mowing it, then it's allowed. Usually we're not trying to get our grass to grow better when we mow it, we're just trying to get our garden to look a little bit neater. Except for the unusual case, which we probably don't have here, if somebody just put in new grass, you know, carpets, whatever they're called in English, new grass mats in his yard, and in order to get them to take root or to, I guess, meld together, you want to try to mow it and whatever. But in our gardens, if you have grass that's been there for a while, so then you're not trying to have it grow better when you mow it. In that case, Rabbi Mon says, and we can have this confirmed, that the longer you have your grass not mown, so then the more mowing it will help the grass grow. What does that mean? It means, let's say you have grass that's parua, that's wild, and it's just very long. So then the sun can't reach the bottom of the blades of grass because the blades are so long. So in that case, when you're cutting them, you're exposing the bottom of the blades of grass to the sun, and that will then help the grass grow better. As opposed to grass, which is relatively short, when you cut it, it's not making it grow any better because it was getting nutrients from the sun the same way before the mowing and after the mowing.
As a non-gardener, I would have speculated that the extra grass still brings the photosynthesis process down to the roots. But I have an expert here, I'm just talking out loud.
So by that logic, I can encourage more frequent mowing?
So that's exactly what he
said.
That's what he said. We should say that Rabbi Mon recommends weekly mowing during Shemitah. That's what he says. He says it's better to mow consistently, you know, very frequently.
Because that makes it better?
That's what makes it better, because by doing so, you're not making the grass grow better. The longer it gets, the more it needs to be mowed in order to grow.
But if you take a break?
If you take a break, I think he says at the end of the day, I think he says that if whatever, something happened and you didn't mow it, and if it's clear you're doing it for cosmetic reasons because it's messy, that's okay. But he says there is a reason why mowing more frequently is actually better in regards to grass. Mm-hmm. As opposed to trimming bushes and tree pruning, it would seem that there's no reason to dafka do it more frequently. You should try to avoid it unless there's a real need. In regards to mowing, because the more you do it, the more it's totally cosmetic, so then he thinks that's actually preferable.
Just be aware, there are some different sheets about that question. So even though, you know, if we're following Rabbi Mon, this is a good middle-of-the-road approach, but if you speak to your friends, you may hear different opinions from other people that got different Piskei Halacha from based on other shitas as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in regards to weeding, so that's also something that comes up. So weeding also, if it's done properly, will help the plants around the weeds grow better, because the weeds are taking the nutrients or attacking the plants, whatever they do. So uprooting weeds, taking your hands and actually pulling them out of the ground, that is usher to be done during Shemitah. Let's say somebody wants to get rid of weeds, not because they are destroying his plants, but because they don't look nice. It's also for cosmetic reasons. So in that case, Rabbi Mon says that if it's clearly being done for cosmetic reasons, and you're not uprooting them by the root, you're just cutting them, let's say with the mower, there's a patch at the end of your grass that there's no grass growing, but there's a bunch of weeds growing there. So he says, if it's for cosmetic reasons and it's clear that you're doing it for cosmetic reasons, for example, you're mowing your yard and you go over here and then you just shoot the mower over there and start cutting down the weeds, or I think even if you just take a whatever they're called, scissors, the shears, and you're cutting the edges, whatever, and there are weeds there, but it's clearly cosmetic and you're doing it in the context of mowing your lawn where you're just treating your yard for cosmetic reasons, he thinks that there's reason to be makel. If somebody needs a more professional weeding job, so that could be a more serious issue that you'd have to discuss.
So the weed that grows where they shouldn't, like in between bricks or on sidewalks, you can pull those out with your hand.
Weeds that are growing between bricks, I would think so.
I would think so.
Also, he says, let's say you just have a yard without a garden, and there's huge tall weeds all over the place, and you're just doing it. You want to get it weeded to get the weeds just gone, and nothing's growing there. That's also okay. Okay. So.
Question on the side.
Yeah.
If it's just for cosmetic reasons, how come we can't do it on your own?
Because you're trying to do it as differently from the professional way as possible. In for
for the sake of
shinui, but also when you cut it not by the root, so you're not actually helping anything in your ground. Your ground, the weeds will be attacking your plants in the same way. That is in both in shinui and also in reality, you're only doing it for cosmetic reasons. As opposed to if you pull it out of the ground and it's near your flowers, it actually will be helping them, even though that's not your intention. So it's better to do it because of shinui, and also because that will get to the purpose of a cosmetic treatment in a truer way. No, does that make sense? Okay. So a couple other things, steering a little bit away from the garden for a minute, and that is the idea of potted plants. Somebody who likes to plant potted plants in their home, it's really better to do that now as well. This is a whole discussion about if we hear the term matzah minutak, which comes up as an option for produce during Shemitah. Essentially, what that is they're growing vegetables inside a greenhouse, inside a home. So we really believe at the end of the day that it's permitted to grow things completely inside of a home. But the minhag is, for one reason or another, that we do not grow potted plants inside of a house. And if you want to have nice flowers or a nice plant growing in your home, you should really try to take care before Shemitah.
When you say plant them, meaning like
you want to
I mean most people
are you want to take seeds and plant flowers in a potted plant.
To go there, they go to the mishkan and they buy a potted plant, they bring it home. Do anything to it in the house? It's like,
okay, so now let's get to that. You go to the mashtelah, you buy a plant that's in a pot with dirt in it, and you're just bringing it home. Okay, so now you've brought it home. So now what can you do with it? In theory, you should be able to treat it completely as usual in terms of the watering, in terms of the trimming, whatever, assuming that we consider it halachically separated from the ground. What makes it... we're talking about it's inside your house, so there's a roof, there are walls, it's inside a home. And if it's separated from the ground halachically, so then those two factors together, that it's inside and away from the ground, that'll allow you to take care of it totally as usual. So there's three ways for it to be considered halachically separate from the ground. Either that the bottom has no holes, or that there's some sort of plate or some sort of, some mishtach, whatever, some sort of aluminum something, little thing that's underneath the pot, or if it's on the second floor of your house or higher, if it's not on the first floor of your house. So then we also assume that all those things make it halachically separated from the ground. In which case, even though the minhag is, we still wouldn't, plant seeds in a pot on Shemitah in that way. But if you have plants, you go to the mashallah and you buy a plant on Shemitah and bring it home. So then that could be then used and treated and taken care of totally like usual.
Hydroponics, would go that way.
Hydroponics. Is there other home hydroponic systems?
No, not home. Professionally, I'm asking professional.
You're saying as a solution for Shemitah?
Yeah, if you're growing in water, inside a greenhouse.
Yeah, it should be okay. I would imagine some of the matzah
minutak. It's not two floors high. It's got to have a floor.
Right, it's got to have a floor. You just got to have some sort of non-porous plastic.
Thank you.
Okay. Another thing which I didn't write here, which is something to be aware of, sometimes people have pots of plants that are either hanging from their windows or attached to or on their windowsill or attached to their house. So that there's a lot of details for this, so it's maybe a little bit too much to digest in one sitting, but it's something to be aware of. Some guidelines for that are, if you have, let's say, a potter that's screwed into the side of your house, we assume that it is like it's as if it's outside. So however you treat the plants in your garden, you should treat this potter that's screwed into the side of your wall. So that's A. Let's say you have, you put a potted plant right here.
On the
windowsill.
Inside or outside?
Outside. So in that case, you look up and you see that there's a covering, there's a frame of the window, and there's a little roof on top of, parallel to where the potted plant is. And then also, if you put some sort of something underneath the potted plant, even though theoretically it's exposed to the outside and it's as if it's outside, if there's a roof on top of it and there's sling on the bottom, then you can also treat it as usual. Sling to keep in mind. But just to be aware of, pots that are exposed to the air outside, you have to just make sure that it has all the variables to allow you to treat it properly, because it could be there will be situations where you have a plant that's attached to your house, but it's as if it's outside in your garden.
When most of those kind of plants tend to droop, the moment it leaves the protective cover of the roof, does it stop?
So that is a good point. That is a good point. That is a machloket, and I think Rav Rimon is makil if in a pot inside your house in that situation. Let's say you have a covering, you have the mishtach under your pot, but the leaves are extending beyond that. We're makil inside the house. I think once you get out of the house, then it could be we would not be makil, and that would not be okay. That's a good point. That's a good point. So it could be that would have to be treated as if it's outside. And should you want, you could water it in order to maintain it, but not at will, as you could for plants that are inside your house. One final thing, and that is, what do we associate with Shemitah in our gardens, and that now Shemitah has come? What does that mean? Everybody can come and take the fruits from our garden. So that is true, but it's a little bit more complicated than that. They can take the fruits from our garden if they have Kedushat Shvit. So if you start, so when do things have Kedushat Shvit? It depends on what we're talking about. Is it a fruit? Is it a vegetable? Is it a spice? So when it comes to fruits, there are different opinions, but we assume that the fruit has to have been very small before Shemitah and grown to a certain size over the course of Shemitah. And there are different opinions for that. We're going to assume, for these purposes, Legol Dechumra, that before Shemitah it had to have been at less, let's say, than a third of its full size. And when it got to Shemitah, it got to be a third of its full grown size. In that case, if that happened during Shemitah, so then that fruit has Kedushat Shvit. All the fruits on our trees. Sorry, I think that. Yeah. No. I wrote something down. But I'm not sure. Let me just. I'll spell it out. We'll talk it out to make sure I'm understanding it properly. There are two opinions in the Rishonim that talk about what size fruit, if it grows to that size, has Kedushat Shvit. One opinion is that if it grew, like I just said, that it was smaller than a third before Shemitah, and over the course of Shemitah, it grew to be a third. Another opinion is that once the flowers fall off of the bud of a fruit and the fruit becomes recognizable as a miniature fruit, so then if it reached that stage on Shemitah, then it has Kedushat Shvit. So
that stage?
During Shemitah.
It would
be the same issue both at the beginning and at the end.
So you're saying that if it reached just a tiny fruit stage before Shemitah, then it would not have Kedushat.
So that's the thing. Okay, exactly. So I think we would go L'Chumra and say that even though it reached the tiny fruit, miniature fruit stage now, but then over the course of Shemitah, it grew to a third or more than its full size, that fruit then has Kedushat Shvit. You should treat it with Kedushat Shvit. In terms of the fact that people could come and take it, you shouldn't throw it away. Maybe you'd have to separate Truman Maser.
We have like a lemon tree, and it's like there's just constantly lemons on it. There's constantly more lemons on it.
Right. So
it's like Tylo Riven.
Right. So it could. It's linked to just be aware of that. If you have fruits at this point that are just starting to grow and they're just starting to flower, they're just falling off. You should note them because it could be that they could have Kedushat Shvit and the other ones wouldn't.
Or take off the fruits now.
Or take off the ones now,
and
right.
So you'll know from everything that goes. Lemon trees are the ones that are really exceptions of a fruit tree. I think most fruit trees won't.
Most fruit trees, it'll happen over the course of the year.
Yeah. Between the two opinions.
Yeah. Avocado can grow year round.
Avocado also?
You can keep the avocados on the trees indefinitely.
So you should go over the tree and mark the lemons?
I guess.
Yeah. You also have a lemon tree.
Yeah, I guess
cut them off. That's a good idea.
Right, or cut them off. Right, and
you're saying even if it reaches before Tu B'Shvat, they can still take care of Shvit. Even before a fruit tree, there's fruits on a fruit tree that can be considered Kedushat Shvit even before Tu B'Shvat.
Correct. That is also different opinions, but that's how we seem to be assuming. La halacha, that even though it got to that stage, whatever, it got to the miniature fruit stage before Tu B'Shvat, after Shemitah began, that would be considered Kedushat Shvit. Okay, and the same thing would happen at the end of Shemitah, that if by before Rosh Hashanah of 5776, so then you see that you have a miniature fruit on your tree, it could be that also you have to treat it as if it has Kedushat Shvit. But what that means practically is that this idea of as soon as Rosh Hashanah comes, Motzei Rosh Hashanah, Motzei Tzom Gedalia, we're going to go and grab people's fruits, that's not, that unfortunately is not the case. We can't eat the fruits at that point. We can't just grab them without permission because they're not hefker. They don't have to do Kedushat Shvit, and they're not hefker, we can't grab them. In regards to vegetables, theoretically they have to do Kedushat Shvit as soon as, even if they grew completely before Shemitah, you just pick them during Shemitah, those have to do Kedushat Shvit. Vegetables are different than fruits in that regard. If you have a vegetable that grew that started to grow completely during Shemitah, that's called Svichin. I know you're talking about that.
Let's speak a little bit. Little
so then, in theory, that's Kishat Shvit, but you're not allowed to eat it. And Rebelli is going to talk about that later.
Spices are
like vegetables in this regard. But once Hefker becomes an issue that people can come into your field, take your fruits, so you can eat, doesn't mean they can come at will. You can set up a sign and say, please come during this time. And but that is a nice thing. Hopefully, we can all take advantage of that.
What about like fields? How do you know if like a field is at a mature or not, or like something like that?
I think a field that is not. I think that a field that is not, you'll probably know about because there'll be signs or people will tell you. I think most fields you cannot assume. You cannot go into them and take it.
Is it only if it's marked that you can take it? Mm-hmm. You can take it.
I would think.
Rosh Hashanah is coming in 2 weeks.
Right.
I want to put a sign in front of my Ginah. What is that sign going to say? I have spices, I have vegetables, and I have fruits in my garden.
Okay, so it'll say you're welcome to take my your spices and vegetables. Enjoy.
I may have fruits though. You just told me I may have fruits now.
You can also take the fruits. There's nothing wrong with it. The question is, just whether you have to.
If you don't mind, then you have to take off Truma and Maser from the fruits because they're from last year.
I'm not gonna make an Hefker then. I'm not gonna.
Right. So tell us to so avoid the problems.
Say fruits and vegetables are Hefker. Vegetables and spices are Hefker.
Yeah.
And leave it at that. And then before next Tubish.
Whatever
up,
time, yeah.
Put
a new sign.
The sign that the fruit, that the
but
fruit
like
is
in. Like
yeah, then you take it off. What you do is you put a piece of tape over vegetables and say fruits. That's what I would do. Okay.
Okay, and what is the obligation to the sign? Is the sign on a halakhic obligation?
No, there's no halakhic obligation. We assume it means to have access. If you'd have a gate that closes, you should leave it open. But beyond that, there's no requirement. Oh, there's something that's important I should mention. There is an idea of it's a nice thing to do. There are opinions that this is really what you should do, to declare in front of three people, my fruits are hefker. How that works exactly, there's room to discuss. But and when you say that exactly, there's room to discuss. But That might be a good thing to do at some point.
Next time.
Yeah, I'd come.
Sure. Any other questions?
If we're saying, though, that unless there's
a question over here.
Yeah, sorry.
If you're saying that if there's no sign, you should assume you can't take it.
I think in Yad Binyamin, the assumption is that.
I'm saying then the Lord might say, a sign might be obligatory, otherwise, you're effectively telling.
Okay, it's true. Also, what Ravimon says is also that it's appropriate and maybe required to ask permission. Not halakhically required, but just midrabanan, for practical reasons. They didn't want people to get used to going to people's fields and start taking their things. They said you should ask permission before you go in. So that's also take care of that problem. Yeah. Yeah.
Flowers.
Yeah.
Often get cut in a garden and brought into a house.
Yeah. Every Friday night.
With flowers, what?
Repeat the question.
So the question was about flowers. Once you buy flowers and bring them into your house, they have to be treated in any unusual way. So this, there's also different opinions in regard to flowers. I think they can be put into water. There's no reason that shouldn't be allowed if they're inside and in a vase. There are opinions that you should dafka get flowers with special approval that they're Shemitah, the Tu'udah for Shemitah. Yeah. There are some opinions that you do not need that, but there are opinions that you do need that. But I don't recall any day to treat them in any special way. Once
can I cut roses and bring them inside?
You said the
same
thing
for
flowers that grow on trees and flowers that grow in the ground? Because that flowers that.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you're just cutting them for your own use, I think you're allowed to cut them as usual and bring them inside. The truth is that there's a lot of details in terms of their annual or non-annual flowers, and if they have a fragrance or don't have a fragrance that I don't have it all prepared now. So
next time, there'll be more shurim, don't worry.
Sphiqim's not going to be an issue with flowers. They don't last that long. It's not like they're. You take an orange,
unless you're putting. No, let's say you have flowers that started growing during Shemitah. Whatever. Okay, we don't have time to talk about that. That is it's a very important question.
No, the issue is buying flowers for Shabbos. Yeah. Is somewhat problematic during Shemitah. And I think that's an issue that should be brought out.
Yeah.
That the person should have a tudah if he's selling flowers for Shemitah. If he's selling them during the Shemitah year.
Right.
So that's something to be aware about.
Maybe. Right. There are opinions that right.
What does it say? That it has to be Shemitah?
So Daniel's saying there's a lot of, there's a few different factors that are involved in terms of whether it has a smell or not smell. There's also different opinions. God willing, we'll have some more shiurim like this over the next couple of months, so we'll definitely speak about it at some point.
So don't buy flowers for your house. That's what I'm getting out of the shiur right now. Okay, I just want to make sure. I last time I thought that I was covered for that whole year. I didn't have to worry about it. I can just say, anyway.
Just go with jewelry.
Shalom bias.
Yeah, I got it.
What about protecting flowers
Plastic flowers in one time.
Like protecting, let's say there's like a plant or a tree that's getting too much sun,
yeah,
and you need to cover it to protect it.
Mm-hmm. Storm.
Protect it, meaning because you're afraid that the tree might get damaged. I mean,
yeah.
I think that if you're doing it for the sake of protecting the tree, I think that's okay. You don't want it to grow better. You just want it so you want it to not get damaged.
Well, what about watering the grass if it's getting too hot?
Watering the
if the sun is going to damage your grass with too much sun.
So you just want to cover it?
No, you want to.
You want to
water on it.
Oh, you want to water it? Yeah, I think you want to water it to protect it from getting damaged. That's okay. As long as what you're doing is to just maintain it and not to have it grow better, that's okay.
Schwach, schwach.